Real quick, we have to take a break to acknowledge the sponsor of today's episode, which is Secret Nature. Secret Nature's ultra premium CBD gummies are crafted with real botanicals, nothing extra, and designed to fit right into your day with clean, purposeful functionality. So for me personally, I like to take one of their snoozer gummies in the evening to unwind and ensure that I get a good night's sleep. After a long day, especially when my brain is just still running a mile a minute and I can't seem to settle down, I'll take one to help me slow down, unplug, and actually get a good night's sleep. I personally don't drink alcohol because I just don't like the way it makes me feel the next day, but these gummies feel very clean, intentional, and it never leaves me groggy the next morning, just feeling balanced and rested. Secret Nature's gummies are organic and farm grown. They're never lab made. They're ultra premium CBD gummies made with real botanicals and nothing extra. You've got two purpose built options. There's Bliss for clear focus and productive flow if you want to take one during the day, and then you get Snoozers to help you relax and rest at the end of the day. Each gummy has consistent, measured CBD, so there's never any guessing, just clean, reliable functionality that fits naturally into your schedule. Get 30% off your first order at secretnature.com with the code MAMA. That's M-A-M-A. And just a heads up, their Black Friday sale is coming up, and they are going to be offering 25% off on orders of $75 or more, 35% off on orders of $125 or more, and then 40% off on orders of $150 or more between November 26th and the 30th. So don't forget to use my code MAMA when you check out. That's M-A-M-A at secretnature.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever find yourself playing the budgeting game? Well, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive, you can find options that fit your budget and potentially lower your bills. Try it at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
Summer's here, and Nordstrom has everything you need for your best dress season ever. From beach days and weddings to weekend getaways and your everyday wardrobe, discover stylish options under $100 from tons of your favorite brands like Mango, Skims, Princess Polly, and Madewell. It's easy, too, with free shipping and free returns, in-store order pickup, and more. Shop today in-stores, online at Nordstrom.com, or download the Nordstrom app.
4th of July savings are here at the Home Depot, so it's time to get your grilling on. Pick up the Traeger Pro Series 22 Pellet Grill and Smoker, now on special buy for $389, was $549. Smoke a rack of ribs or bake an apple pie, this grill is versatile enough to do it all. This summer, no matter how you like your steaks, your barbecues are guaranteed to be well done. Celebrate 4th of July with fast free delivery on select grills right now at the Home Depot. Subject to availability.
Welcome back to Mama Mystery. I am your host, Kelly, and today's case that I'm bringing to you is one of the most disturbing and tragic, downright baffling cases that I've ever come across. And, you know, many of you know that I just had a baby back in July, baby Elliot. I can't even imagine being in the headspace to understand what this episode is about. Like, you guys, it'll make sense once we get into it, but it is a story that went viral. So a lot of you probably already know about it, but it went viral not just because of the horrifying crime, but also because of the shocking way that it all unfolded on police body cam footage and with surveillance from the hospital. So today we're diving into the case of Alexi Treviso, a 19-year-old high school cheerleader from Artesia, New Mexico. And in January of 2023, she walked into her local hospital complaining of back pain. But within hours, hospital staff would discover that she had actually given birth in a bathroom and secretly disposed of her newborn baby in a trash can. Yes, you heard that right. This case takes tragic to a whole new level. And yet, as horrifying as this incident was, what really makes this story so haunting is the eerie, calm, and calculated actions that followed, not just from Alexi, but her mom. So in this episode, we're going to walk you through the full timeline of events from Alexi's life before that fateful night to the legal chaos that then followed. And we'll be discussing how the unthinkable happened right in the middle of a hospital in a case that raises questions about denial, secrecy, and what can drive a person to commit such a heinous act. So buckle up, because this case has a lot of twists and turns, and just when you think you've heard it all, there's a whole new layer of shock. So let's just dive right in. Alexi Treviza was a seemingly normal teenager growing up in Artesia, New Mexico, a small town with a population of about 12,000 people. The kind of place where just about everyone knows everyone. And, you know, Artesia is pretty quiet. It's not really known for scandalous headlines. Alexi was a senior at Artesia High School, where she was on the varsity cheerleading squad, a role that came with a certain level of visibility and popularity. She had plenty of friends, a boyfriend she had been with for nearly 3 years, and by all appearances, she was just another teenager living a small town life. Now, on the surface, Alexi had everything going for her, but as it would soon become clear, there were really dark secrets brewing under that seemingly perfect facade, which is basically the foundation of every story that we tell on this podcast. But one of the most striking aspects of this case is how Alexi managed to keep her pregnancy hidden, not just from her friends, but even her own family, or at least that's the story they told authorities. I don't know how you could hide that, especially into 9 months, but we'll get there. So Alexi lived with her mother, Rosa, her stepfather, and her younger sister. And the relationship between Alexi and her mother was, by all accounts, very close. Rosa was described as a caring, but at times overbearing mother, the type to still treat Alexi as if she was much younger than her 19 years, because yes, Alexi is 19 years old at the time of this story. Now, it wasn't uncommon for mothers and daughters to share a tight bond, especially in a small town like Artesia, but this dynamic would become crucial in understanding just how Alexi's actions on that fateful night were shaped by a combination of secrecy, fear, and maybe denial. Despite being in a long-term relationship with her boyfriend and being in the spotlight as a cheerleader, nobody apparently noticed that Alexi's body was changing. She gained a noticeable amount of weight during her senior year, but apparently no alarms were raised, at least not enough for anyone to actually confront her about it. And that's where I kind of throw up my flag, because I'm like, people knew, they had to know, they just weren't saying anything to her face about it. But some speculated later that Rosa, who was very involved in her daughter's life, must have had suspicions about the pregnancy, but there were no reports of any confrontations or conversations about it. Now, Alexi's friends and family were stunned after the events in January of 2023. How could a young woman so involved in school activities with close family ties hide something as monumental as a full-term pregnancy? And this question just continues to baffle everyone who knows her. But as we dive deeper into the events of that night, we'll see just how tightly Alexi held on to her secret and the devastating consequences that followed. It was a night that started off like any other for Alexi Treviso. She had come home from cheer practice on January 26, 2023, feeling exhausted. Artesia High School's cheer team had been busy preparing for upcoming competitions, and after a long day, Alexi decided to go to bed early. But as the night wore on, something unexpected happened. She woke up with intense pain in her lower back, and it was the kind of pain that was sharp and persistent, and Alexi knew it was something she could not ignore. By 11:30 p.m., Alexi's pain was unbearable. She woke up her mother, Rosa, and explained that something was seriously wrong, and Rosa, concerned, decided it was best to take Alexi to the emergency room at Artesia General Hospital. The two arrived at the ER, and when they checked in, Alexi described the pain as severe and located in her lower back, leading the hospital staff to believe that it could be a urinary tract infection or possibly something more serious, like an issue with her kidneys. So once inside the hospital, Alexi's behavior became noticeably odd. The ER doctor and nurses later recalled how Alexi seemed anxious, shifting around in her seat, refusing to let them fully examine her. She was wearing a baggy sweatshirt, and while this didn't raise immediate suspicion, her refusal to allow a proper examination did. As part of the hospital's routine checks, the doctor asked Alexi if there was any chance she could be pregnant, and without any hesitation, Alexi firmly denied it. She told the doctor that she was still a virgin and assured them that pregnancy was impossible. Rosa, her mother, also stood by this claim, insisting that Alexi could not be pregnant. Rosa even went so far as to tell the doctor that she had been buying pads for Alexi every month, which, in her mind, ruled out the possibility of pregnancy. The denial is just so astounding to me, but let's keep going. Despite Alexi's and Rosa's adamant denials, the doctor decided to run a pregnancy test anyway, which is standard procedure when a young woman presents with abdominal or lower back pain. So while they waited for the results, Alexi was given pain medication to help alleviate her discomfort. The test came back positive. Alexi Treviso was indeed pregnant, and not just newly pregnant, she was carrying a full-term baby. Now, this was a moment of shock for the hospital staff. Here was a teenager claiming to be in pain from what she thought was a kidney issue, who had just been revealed to be at full term. The ER doctor followed up with a blood test to confirm the pregnancy, and sure enough, the results showed that Alexi was about to give birth. It was about 1:39 a.m. when Alexi suddenly told a nurse that she needed to use the bathroom. She felt like she was going to poop. In the hospital's surveillance footage, Alexi can be seen clutching her lower body as she hurried down the hallway toward the restroom. She's literally like hands on her butt. You can see it on the surveillance. I'll put it on her Instagram. I'll put it on the Patreon post. But you can see her grabbing her butt as she's running to the bathroom. Now, at this point, I don't know if the blood test results had already come back or if they came back after she went to the bathroom, because in my mind, I just can't imagine any nurse allowing her to get up and go to the bathroom if they knew she was full term pregnant and probably about to have a baby. It just doesn't compute in my mind. So I guess in my head, I think they must have found the results of the blood test after she went to the bathroom. But once Alexi went into the bathroom, she locked herself in, locked the door, and for the next several minutes, hospital staff became increasingly concerned as they heard repeated sounds of the toilet flushing and the paper towel dispenser being used. One nurse knocked on the door to ask if Alexi needed help, but she insisted she was fine and she was just having trouble using the restroom. The nurse then offered assistance again, but Alexi refused, saying she didn't need anything. Now, Rosa, unaware of what was happening, briefly checked on her daughter, but Alexi still would not open the door. And the staff's growing suspicion eventually led one nurse to request a key to unlock the bathroom door. But before they could do it, Alexi then opened the door on her own and walked back to her hospital room, leaving behind a horrific scene. The nurses, unsure of exactly what occurred, entered the bathroom only to be greeted with blood splattered on the walls, smeared on the floor, and around the toilet. It looked like something out of a horror movie, and at first they assumed Alexi had experienced a miscarriage given the amount of blood. However, what they would soon discover was far worse. In the trash can, beneath the layers of paper towels and trash bags, hospital staff found something they would never forget. A little newborn baby boy, full term, lifeless, wrapped tightly in a plastic bag. The baby was fully developed with dark hair and had been placed in the trash as if he were nothing more than waste. When confronted about the blood and the mess in the bathroom, Alexi downplayed the situation and she told staff that she had just started her period, brushing off the blood as nothing more than just menstrual bleeding. The hospital staff, already aware of her pregnancy, found this explanation implausible, but what they didn't know yet was that the baby was actually hidden in the trash just feet away from where they were standing. As the situation continued to unfold, the hospital staff had no choice but to call the police. It wasn't long before the truth was laid bare, and Alexi's dark secret, the one that she had managed to keep hidden, or so she thinks anyway, for 9 long months, was now exposed in the most horrifying way possible. Once Alexi had left the bathroom, the hospital staff began to suspect that something was very wrong. The blood smeared on the walls, floor, and toilet suggested more than just a routine medical issue or just a miscarriage or the fact that she had started her period.
And it was around this time that Lori, one of the hospital's certified nursing assistants, entered the bathroom to assess the situation. And what she saw left her speechless. Blood covered much of the small enclosed space, and though someone had tried to clean it up, it looked like they had done a poor job. It appeared as though Alexei was using paper towels to try and wipe up or soak up some of the blood, but there was just no chance that she was going to be able to do that on her own. As Lori investigated further, something else caught her attention, which was the trash can. At first glance, it seemed unremarkable with a clear liner on top, fresh new bag in the can. But something about it seemed off. It was heavier than it should have been for an empty can. So Lori decided to lift the liner, and as she did, she felt the weight of what was inside. When she peered inside the trash can, she uncovered the horrifying truth. Wrapped tightly in that hospital bag and buried beneath layers of paper towels and other debris was the body of a newborn baby boy. And Lori could see the tiny baby through the translucent plastic, cold, unmoving, unmistakably lifeless. It was a discovery so shocking that Lori immediately called for help, knowing that they had just uncovered something far more sinister than what they all assumed was a simple medical emergency. The staff quickly called the ER doctor to the scene, who then transferred the baby to a nearby trauma room to assess the situation. And as the doctor opened the bag, they were met with a heart-wrenching sight, a fully developed newborn baby boy discarded like garbage. And despite the overwhelming grief that came with such a discovery, the medical team had a job to do, and they checked for any signs of life, but unfortunately it was clear that the baby was gone. The baby boy weighed 5 pounds and 9 ounces and was about 19 inches long. He had a head full of dark hair and, based on his development, appeared to have been carried to term. The medical team noted that the baby's umbilical cord was still attached, although it appeared to have been torn in a rough, almost savage manner, as though Alexei had ripped it away herself. With the newborn's body now in front of them, the hospital staff was left to process what they had just witnessed. There were no signs of life, no heartbeat, no movement, no breath. The baby had been alive at some point, but his life had been tragically cut short in the most brutal way imaginable. And the doctor or the charge nurse, I can't remember which one it was, but at some point he was recalling with a lot of emotion that he had no chance to save this baby. Alexei never gave them an opportunity to save this child, and he believes that they absolutely could have. Now, in the immediate aftermath of this horrific discovery, the hospital staff quickly called the police, and they knew this was no ordinary medical emergency. This is now a crime, one that would have serious legal consequences for Alexei Treviso. As law enforcement made their way into the hospital, the staff tried to make sense of what had just happened. How could a seemingly normal high school cheerleader go from living a regular teenage life to then giving birth in a hospital bathroom and throwing her newborn in the trash? Soon, Alexei and her mother, Rosa, were confronted with the news. The doctor gathered the two of them in the hospital room and explained the gravity of the situation. He told them that they had found a full-term newborn baby in the bathroom trash can and that the baby had died. Rosa's reaction was one of disbelief and confusion, but Alexei's response was far more chilling. So I am going to play you some footage from that surveillance, the body cam footage. If you want to see the actual video, you can go to our Instagram, mama.mysterypodcast. But I will warn you, it is infuriating.
We discovered a dead baby in the bathroom.
Oh my gosh. I'm sorry. It came out of me and I didn't know what to do.
Lexi, I told you about this.
But if
I just asked you, baby, to tell me the truth.
It was not crying or nothing.
What did you do to it?
Okay, stop right here. Stop. Number one priority, guys. Number one priority is she just had a baby. I don't know if she's delivered the placenta. She's bleeding significantly.
Yeah.
I've spoken to the obstetrician at Loveless. They want her up there as soon as possible.
Okay.
I obviously need your permission to transfer her for medical. She's
19.
Oh, you're right.
She is a student, too.
She's not still 19 years old.
You're right. She needs to. I'm sorry, I forgot. She's 19.
Keep out of me.
But you need to make sure that you're safe. I need to send you to Loveless to labor delivery. Will you please agree to that?
Yes.
Okay. Great. I'm gonna work on that. in terms, I'm sorry about this, but in terms of delivering a baby and it looked like you tried to hide it, we do have to have the police involved.
And that thing was crying. It came out with nothing.
I know. But the baby's going to have to be taken for autopsy and there'll be an investigator and everything. I'm really sorry, guys. I'm sorry.
Like, how big is the baby?
It's full term.
What? Nothing. 9 months?
Nothing was crying.
Let's see. Have you watched the news of the girls that what they do to their babies and what they go to jail?
I was crying.
So as you just heard, the doctor asked Alexi about the baby and her response was shockingly cold and far removed. She told him or her that the baby hadn't cried. She said nothing was crying. Nothing was moving. She didn't think it was alive. She couldn't even bring herself to say the word he or my baby. She kept referring to this baby as it or nothing. And that just infuriates me. And if you look at the video, when the doctor says we are going to have to get the police involved, she looks to her mom like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? Like, so you can't just throw babies in the trash and get away with it? Like, and then the mom saying, well, she is a student, as if that means that this girl's going to need her parents' permission. She's 19. What are you even doing in high school still when you're 19? Sorry, I know there's probably some 19-year-olds. But to still treat your 19-year-old as if she is a child is really disturbing to me because it just speaks volume as to why Alexi's in this position in the first place. But anyway, the shock wasn't just limited to the hospital staff. Rosa, Alexi's mother, seemed like she was completely blindsided, but I still think that her reaction was, I don't know, just very underreactive. Maybe I'm just saying that as a mother myself, like I just can't imagine being that kind of calm, cool, and collected about the whole thing. Like, Alexi, I told you about this. You've got to turn the lights off in your room before you leave the house. Like that's the kind of vibe that I got from her reaction. Now, according to reports, Rosa was initially angry, accusing Alexi of lying about being pregnant. And the two had been close, so close that Rosa claimed to have bought Alexi menstrual pads every month, convinced that her daughter was still getting her period. But now, faced with the reality that Alexi had hidden her pregnancy for 9 months and had just delivered a baby, Rosa's reaction then turned to horror, saying, "How could you do this?" But the question remains unanswered. And honestly, I'm not 100% convinced that Rosa was that ignorant to her own daughter being 9 months pregnant. Now, meanwhile, the hospital staff began cleaning up the bloodied bathroom, still reeling from the shock of what they all had just witnessed. Now, you got to remember, too, this is a small town, a small hospital. Now, I don't think anyone ever would have expected this to happen that night. But the gruesome scene surely left its mark on everyone involved, from the CNA who discovered the baby in the first place to the doctor who had the unfortunate task of explaining the situation to police, and then everyone just having to live with this image and this moment, this trauma for the rest of their lives. As officers arrived on the scene, the scope of the tragedy became clear. This was not just a case of a girl hiding her pregnancy. This is now a homicide. The baby, referred to as Baby John Doe, had been born alive based on the autopsy findings. His lungs had taken in air, meaning that at some point, the newborn was capable of breathing. However, something had gone horribly wrong, and instead of crying for help or calling for assistance because you're at a fucking hospital, sorry, this just really aggravates me. Like, you were right there. You were there to get the help. You could have said, I had this baby. I don't want it, but please take care of it. Like, I don't know. This is just infuriating. But instead of any of those things, she chose to throw the baby in the trash. Now, with the police now involved, the case would soon take a dramatic turn, and what started as a seemingly routine visit to the ER had now escalated into an investigation that would change Alexi's life forever.
The Disney Plus Hulu Max bundle. It's the ultimate bundle for an unbelievable price. Plans starting at $16.99 a month. Get it and watch Marvel Television's Ironheart on Disney Plus.
I want to build something iconic.
A new season of The Bear on Hulu.
We can make people happy.
And the epic, a Minecraft movie on Max.
Anything you can imagine is possible.
The Disney Plus Hulu Max bundle. Plans starting at $16.99 a month. All these and more now streaming. Terms apply. Visit DisneyPlusHuluMaxBundle.com for details.
This message comes from Greenlight. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Join millions of parents and kids building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get started risk-free at greenlight.com/Spotify.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I was looking for fun ways to tell you that Mint's offer of unlimited premium wireless for $15 a month is back. So I thought it would be fun if we made $15 bills, but it turns out that's very illegal. So there goes my big idea for the commercial. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
The discovery of the newborn in the hospital bathroom sent shockwaves through the small town of Artesia, New Mexico, and the investigation into the incident began immediately. Once the police arrived at Artesia General Hospital, the situation escalated from a tragic medical emergency to now a full-fledged criminal investigation. The lead investigators, along with the officers from the Artesia Police Department, began collecting evidence from the hospital room and bathroom where Alexi Treviso had given birth and hidden her newborn. Blood samples, the trash bag that the plastic trash bag that the baby was placed in, and the baby's body were all carefully documented and sent for forensic analysis. The autopsy report would later reveal critical details about the baby's final moments. The officers also began their first round of interviews, starting with the hospital staff who had been present that night. Each member of the medical team relayed the same series of very disturbing events, how Alexi had arrived complaining of back pain, denied ever being pregnant, and then had gone to the bathroom only to leave behind that horrible scene. And the timeline of the night was becoming clearer, and all evidence pointed to Alexi as the sole person responsible for this baby's death. The next step was then confronting Alexi and her mother, and police body cam footage captured that tense interaction between law enforcement and the Treviso family, footage that would later go viral and become a key piece of public understanding in the case. And towards the end of that video, the police can be seen on the body cam basically reading her rights and telling Alexi that she has the right to remain silent, that anything she says could be used against her in court. Throughout the footage, Alexi appears emotionally detached. She's avoiding eye contact. She's remaining silent as the officer lays out the facts. Rosa, her mom, however, is far more vocal. She breaks down in tears, expressing disbelief and shock that her daughter could be involved in such a crime. And at one point, Rosa even begins scolding Alexi, demanding answers as to how she could have hidden her pregnancy, and worse, how she could have done something so unthinkable as to leave her baby to die in a trash can. But Alexi remains mostly silent, showing very little emotion. She continues to tell the officers that she hadn't known she was pregnant and that the baby just came out while she was in the bathroom. According to Alexi, she didn't think the baby was alive, which is why she wrapped him in a trash bag and discarded him. The police, however, weren't buying this explanation. Based on the hospital's medical records and the sheer size and development of the baby, it was clear that this was not a case of miscarriage or an accidental birth. This was a full-term pregnancy, and the baby had likely been alive for at least a few moments after birth, as the autopsy would then later confirm. The forensic evidence suggested that Alexi had given birth to a healthy baby boy, but chose to abandon him in a way that ensured he would not survive. So as investigators began building their case, more troubling details then emerged. The autopsy of the baby, conducted by the New Mexico Office of the Medical Examiner, revealed that the baby had been born alive, and the autopsy ruled that the cause of death was homicide, citing asphyxia due to airway obstruction. So essentially, the baby was suffocated after being placed in the trash bag. Now, with these findings, police began treating the case as a potential first-degree murder investigation. And the charges against Alexi Treviso were growing more serious by the day. Not only had she hidden her pregnancy, but she had also given birth in secret and made a conscious decision to dispose of her baby. And on May 11th of 2023, after months of investigation, police officially arrested Alexi Treviso on charges of first-degree murder and tampering with evidence. And the news of her arrest stunned the community, especially those who knew Alexi from school and cheerleading. The crazy thing about this is that after this all happened at the hospital, Alexia did eventually go home. She just went back to life as if nothing ever happened. She went to prom. She has pictures with her friends. She's smiling as if this was just a blip on the radar. But watch or listen to this footage of her being arrested at her house and how Rosa reacts. She's like more emotional at this moment to the police than she ever seemed to be towards her own daughter after finding out that her daughter threw a baby in the trash.
What is she under arrest for? What do you mean that's all you're going to tell me?
She's over there.
I understand that, but I have a right to know as well.
And we'll tell you that. But
okay, then let me know now. Let me know now. I'm giving you the cooperation. I told you everything. Answer my question. Well, what is she under arrest for?
She's over the age of 18. Like, that's not, that is, that we can't really, because I mentioned, but bring her out here, we'll tell
what
you.
Are, what is she under arrest
bring
for?
Bring her out here, we'll tell you
right now. No, I'm not bringing her out here yet. Let me know what she's under arrest for.
She's going to get arrested regardless. I mean, it's, I don't know why.
For what? For what? For what?
Open count of homicide. And tampering with evidence.
Tampering with evidence?
Yes.
At the hospital?
So, can we see her now?
Give me a minute.
Okay.
So I apologize for the sound quality. Just to paint the picture for you, the police arrived on their doorstep. And this house is a pretty small house. It's kind of set on what looks to be kind of barren land. So it's really windy. But the mom answers the door. She's clearly not wanting to be cooperative. She's very aggravated with the cops who are there to, you know, hold her daughter responsible for throwing her baby in the trash. And I doubt that Alexi has probably ever been held responsible for anything in her life, given how they've all reacted to this situation. But the charges of first-degree murder meant that Alexi faced the possibility of life in prison if convicted. And the tampering with evidence charge related to her attempt to hide the baby's body in the trash added a whole other layer of legal complexity to this case. So the prosecution argued that Alexi had not only committed a terrible crime, but it had actively tried to cover it up, showing a level of premeditation and guilt. Now, in the wake of her arrest, Alexi's defense team began crafting their strategy. They argued that Alexi had been in a state of panic, not fully understanding what was happening when she gave birth. According to her lawyers, Alexi had suffered from denial of pregnancy, a psychological condition in which a woman is unaware or in denial about her pregnancy until she goes into labor. They claimed that Alexi had not known she was pregnant, and when the baby was born, she was overwhelmed with fear and confusion. This is just my personal opinion, but I do not buy it. You can literally look at pictures of her in her cheerleading uniform. The girl is pregnant. Like, how does anyone not see that? If you disagree with me, please politely let me know why and how, because I don't understand this at all. But the defense team also emphasized that Alexi's age and lack of maturity, despite the fact that she's 19, she's technically an adult. And trust me, I know that not a lot of 18 or 19-year-olds act like adults, but that's the law. You're 19, you're an adult. But anyway, they emphasized that her lack of maturity, portraying her as this scared teenager who made a terrible mistake in a moment of panic. They painted this picture of a girl who had grown up in a very strict household, doubt it, where the pressure to be perfect may have led her to hide her pregnancy out of fear of disappointing her family. Now, that part I actually can see. Like, I can see that she didn't want to be embarrassed, maybe, or maybe didn't want to have the responsibility of having a baby. But I actually don't necessarily believe that this was out of fear of a strict household. I don't know. I just, that doesn't really resonate with me. Maybe there's just not enough evidence. But The prosecution was not swayed by this narrative, and they argued that Alexei's actions went beyond panic. They pointed to the cold, calculated way that she had discarded the baby. You guys, she took this baby, put it in the trash bag, and then wrapped up the ball, essentially, that that baby's body created, wrapped it up in a bunch of layers with that trash bag. Like, you have to be a psychopath to do something like that to a brand new, defenseless, vulnerable baby. But anyway, they pointed to the cold, calculated way that she had discarded the baby and the fact that she had lied to hospital staff, claiming that she was not pregnant and later downplaying the incident as if it were nothing. And to them, this was evidence of someone who knew exactly what she was doing, what she did, and had made a conscious decision to get rid of the baby. Now, in the months following her arrest, Alexei was released on bail and remained under house arrest as she awaited trial. And the case garnered significant media attention, with many people expressing outrage over the crime and debating whether Alexei's actions were the result of panic, denial, or something more sinister. So as Alexei Treviso's case moved toward trial, the legal battle over her fate became one of the most closely watched in New Mexico, with charges of first-degree murder and tampering with evidence looming over her. Alexei faced the possibility of spending the rest of her life beyond bars if convicted. The trial was set to begin in early 2024, promised to be this dramatic courtroom showdown between the prosecution, who sought to portray Alexei as a calculated killer, and then the defense, who would argue that she was just a frightened teenager overwhelmed by a situation that she didn't fully understand. And one of the central issues at trial would be Alexei's state of mind at the state of the or at the time of the crime. So the defense was expected to rely heavily on the argument that Alexei had suffered from denial of pregnancy, this psychological condition. While denial of pregnancy is rare, it has been documented in medical literature, particularly in cases involving young or vulnerable women who are unprepared for the realities of pregnancy and childbirth. But the defense planned to bring in expert witnesses, including psychologists and medical professionals, to testify that Alexei had likely been in a state of psychological shock during the pregnancy and at the time of the baby's birth. They would argue that Alexei's actions, while tragic, were not those of a cold-blooded murderer, but rather of a confused and scared young girl who didn't know how to handle an impossible situation. In their view, Alexei should not be convicted of murder, but should instead face a lesser charge, such as involuntary manslaughter. Additionally, the defense was likely to emphasize Alexei's youth and inexperience. At just 19 years old, Alexei was not even out of high school when the incident occurred. They would argue that her age and lack of maturity contributed to this poor decision-making in the aftermath of the birth. According to the defense, Alexei had been raised in a strict household where she feared judgment and punishment, which may have led her to hide the pregnancy and then act in panic when the baby was born. But the prosecution had a very different view of the case. From the beginning, they framed Alexei's actions as deliberate and premeditated. They pointed to the fact that Alexei had hidden her pregnancy for 9 months, even denying it when she was asked directly by hospital staff, as evidence that she knew exactly what she was doing. The prosecution would likely argue that Alexei had multiple opportunities to ask for help or come clean about her situation, but instead, she chose to conceal the birth and dispose of her newborn in a trash can, which showed a clear intent to cover up the crime. The prosecution's case would rest heavily on the autopsy report, which revealed that the baby, like I said before, had been born alive. The presence of air in the baby's lungs suggested that he at least took a few breaths before he was placed in the trash. And the cause of death, which was suffocation due to airway obstruction, indicated that the baby died as a result of being wrapped in the plastic bag. So the prosecution would argue that Alexei's decision to place her baby in the trash rather than alert hospital staff or call for help was a conscious choice that led directly to the baby's death. So in seeking a conviction for first-degree murder, the prosecution would need to prove that Alexei's actions were both premeditated and intentional. And this meant showing that she had planned to get rid of the baby before or after the birth, rather than acting in a moment of panic or confusion. And if convicted of first-degree murder, Alexei would face the harshest possible sentence, life in prison, without the possibility of parole. However, even if the jury were to find that Alexei's actions didn't rise to the level of first-degree murder, she still could be convicted of a lesser charge, like second-degree murder or manslaughter. Now, second-degree murder would require the prosecution to prove that Alexei acted with reckless disregard for human life, meaning that while she may not have planned the killing, her actions were so reckless that they resulted in the baby's death. And a second-degree murder conviction would carry a sentence of 15 to 25 years in prison. I can't really wrap my head around a lesser charge than at least that. But manslaughter, on the other hand, would be the lightest possible charge, carrying a sentence of only 4 to 8 years. And to secure a manslaughter conviction, the defense would need to convince the jury that Alexei had acted without intent to kill, because putting a baby in a trash bag is just temporary. And then her actions were the result of panic or confusion. And while this would still hold Alexei accountable for the baby's death, it would acknowledge that her actions were not premeditated or deliberate. So as the trial approached, public opinion was sharply divided. Some saw Alexei as a victim of her circumstances, this young girl who had been overwhelmed by fear and societal pressure, leading her to make this terrible mistake. But others viewed her as a cold and calculated killer who had chosen to end her baby's life so that she could move on with her own life rather than face the consequences of being a teenage mother. And then adding to the complexity of the case was the viral body cam footage, which had been widely circulated online. And many who watched the footage were struck by Alexei's detached demeanor during the interaction with police. Her lack of visible emotion, combined with the horrific nature of the crime, left many wondering if she felt any remorse at all for what had happened. However, the defense argued that Alexei's flat affect could be explained by the trauma of the event and the psychological shock that she had experienced. No matter the outcome, the trial of Alexei Treviso was set to be a legal battle over not just the facts of the case, but the very nature of teenage psychology, panic, and responsibility. If convicted of first-degree murder, Alexei's life would be forever changed. But even a lesser conviction could result in years behind bars, leaving Alexei to grapple with the consequences of a decision made in the darkest moment of her life. And one of the most difficult aspects of this case is understanding the mindset that could lead to someone to commit a crime like this. Was Alexei truly in denial about her pregnancy, unable to process the reality of her situation until it was too late? Or was this a case of a cold, calculated decision made by a young woman who chose to discard her child rather than face the consequences of her actions? Now, the answer, as is often the case in tragedies like this, may lie somewhere in between, but I do want to know your thoughts. So please let me know in the comment section. If you're listening on Spotify, you can actually leave comments on episodes. If you're listening on Patreon, comment on the post. If you're listening on Apple, you can leave it on our Mama Mystery Instagram or on our Facebook. I do want to know what your thoughts are. You can even message me privately on mamamystery.com. But what is clear, however, is that this case has sparked a larger conversation about the pressures that young women face when they're dealt with unexpected pregnancies. And for Alexei, growing up in a small town, the fear of judgment and societal shame may have been overwhelming. Her mother, Rosa, was deeply involved in her life, and Alexei may have feared disappointing her family or disrupting her own plans. As selfish as that is, in this context, Alexei's actions, while inexcusable, become a little more understandable, I guess. Like, I'm not excusing it. I don't understand why she did it, but it does seem like that could be a motivating factor, okay? So I don't want you to like mix my words and think I'm like sympathizing with this girl, because what she did is abhorrent. But at the same time, this case does highlight the importance of recognizing the signs of pregnancy. Guys, just wait till you see the pictures of her. Like, how could you deny that this girl was pregnant? How could anyone deny it? But anyway, addressing the signs of pregnancy early on, whether it be through better sex education, mental health support, or open family discussions, it's crucial that young women feel empowered to seek help when they're faced with an unexpected pregnancy. And in Alexei's case, the baby's death might have been it definitely would have been preventable if she had received the right kind of support and guidance during her pregnancy. If anyone would have just had the balls to be like, hey, something's up with this girl. She's clearly pregnant. What's going to happen here? I just feel like this whole outcome would have been different. And the legal system, too, plays a role in shaping the outcome of cases like this. The charges against Alexei, ranging from first-degree murder to tampering with evidence, are a reflection of how seriously the law views the loss of an innocent life. But the eventual verdict in Alexei's case will hinge on more than just the facts. It will force the jury to grapple with complex issues of intent, panic, and the capacity for rational decision-making under extreme stress, especially when you're only 19. But in the end, there are no winners in this case. A newborn baby who had his entire life ahead of him is dead, and his mother, Alexei, now faces the prospect of spending the rest of her life in prison. And now, if this case isn't infuriating enough, let me clue you in on the most bizarre turn of events that I think this case even has, which is that Alexei Treviso's defense team has now signaled their intent to sue Artesia General Hospital, focusing on claims of medical negligence that they argue contributed to the death of Alexei's newborn. And this legal strategy is closely tied to her criminal defense, as her lawyers are attempting to shift part of the responsibility onto the hospital. The key argument from the defense revolves around the administration of morphine during Alexei's labor. And according to her defense team, the morphine and other medications given to Alexei while she was in labor suppressed the baby's breathing, leading to or exacerbating the newborn's death. That's what their theory is. The defense team is framing this as a critical failure of hospital protocol, suggesting that the hospital's actions or lack of appropriate intervention were directly responsible for the baby's inability to breathe after birth. If this doesn't make you want to pound your head against the wall, I don't know what does. First of all, the hospital was not under the impression that she was pregnant because she kept denying she was pregnant. She kept saying she had back pain, and they thought maybe, I mean, they're doing these slew of tests to determine what her pain is being caused by, since she's insisting she's not pregnant. And they're going to test for that anyway. But the fact that they test for that and then she runs off to the bathroom, how are they supposed to intervene on a situation they don't know exists? So additionally, Alexei's legal team has pointed to potential HIPAA violations by the hospital, though the specifics of these alleged violations have not been fully detailed. But these claims likely relate to the release of sensitive medical information, possibly tied to the body cam footage from the police or the hospital's handling of Alexei's condition and the circumstances surrounding the birth. The proposed wrongful death lawsuit would seek to hold the hospital accountable for its role in the baby's death, with the aim of either mitigating Alexei's criminal charges or at least providing a parallel narrative that places blame on the hospital staff. This civil action might allege that the hospital failed in its duty to care for Alexei and her newborn, thus contributing to the tragic outcome. Like, I just can't, you guys. I cannot. I feel like I'm being gaslit right now. This case is very upsetting. Ultimately, this strategy aligns with the defense team's broader narrative, which emphasizes Alexei's mental state and medical treatment rather than framing her actions as intentional and premeditated murder. So the defense team may use expert testimony to argue that had the hospital acted differently, maybe the baby's life could have been saved. So basically, let's just treat Alexei like she's probably been treated her whole life and not hold her accountable for a single thing she has done. If successful, this lawsuit could not only shift some of the public focus onto the hospital's procedures, but also potentially serve as leverage in the criminal case, complicating the prosecution's portrayal of Alexei as being fully responsible for her actions. Oh my gosh. That's it, you guys. As soon as I know any updates in this case, I will be sure to relay them to you. I do want to know your thoughts. I feel like this is a very emotionally driven, charged case. I'm passionate about it, as you can probably tell, but I do want to know your thoughts, regardless of if you agree with me or not. But yeah, I want to see Alexei be held responsible. I think that's the literal only sensible outcome in this story. So anyway, until next week, thank you so much for listening. Mama, mystery out. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy to see if you could save when you bundle your home and auto policies. Try it at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.